Parshas Vayera. Avram and Sarah were the world-class people offering hospitality. Avram made it his life's goal to get as close as possible to the Rabbona Shel Olam, and he wanted to draw others to Hashem's service as well. Yitzchak Yaakov followed his lead. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as we know, when we open up Shmona Esrei, it says, Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. It says, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov were constantly concentrated on serving the Rabbona Shel Olam, and that was their life mission and a 24/7 awareness. It says they were on such a high level that even when involved in daily routines and labor, this was all done. They were able to basically say, this is being done so that we can have greater strength to serve the Almighty. And it says, Avram used every means of his wealth, which was quite immense, trying to employ it in this task. Avram Avinu, it says, once asked Shem, the son of Noach, in merit of which act did Hashem keep you alive in the Teva? And he said, our charity, our giving. And Avram said, please explain. And he said, we spent 24/7 catering to the vast animal kingdom that we were responsible for. And Avram Avinu said, if so much merit was gained in caring for the animal kingdom, how much more so in making your life mission to care for God's human creation? Avram, it says, planted a wonderful orchard in Beersheba. His tent was open all four sides, so whoever came from any direction would see probably a sign saying, open house, please come. And every traveler could come and find shelter and nourishment in Avram home. And it said he got a reputation for his chesed, and people came from wide and far to take advantage. And Avram would let them have a meal, but then he began to say, before you eat, you must make a blessing. And he said, please thank the Almighty whose bounty we share. And some of these guys were obstinate, and they said, not in our lexicon, we're not doing this. He said, okay, if that's the case, he says, you're going to pay fair market value for what you're getting. What's the fair market value of food and lodging when it's the only thing in a vast desert, and it's the only reason you're alive? And they said, well, it's not so bad to make a bracha, you know. Amazing how money talks. And Avram would get them to bless afterwards, and he would try to instill in them the concept that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Borei Olam and is the one who runs the world. Sarah would do the exact same thing when women came. So obviously they had separate tents for welcoming people. And it says as long as Sora was alive, she had a divine cloud over her home, over her tent. The candle that she lit Erev Shabbos never extinguished, but I would imagine she would put it out before the next Erev Shabbos so she could do the mitzvah again. And it says there was obvious abundance always in the provisions available in the home. We set the stage of where the Parsha opens. It's the third day following Avram Avinu's Bris, which we're told is the most difficult, painful day. Hashem brought out an exceedingly hot
day
till that Avram would be healed and he wouldn't basically have to tend to guests. But Avram was totally anguished. He wondered to himself and he said, is the fact that I did a bris on myself and on Yishmoel and on everyone in my household, is that something that is now stopping people from coming? Have I become, so to speak, such a rare being that no one wants to associate with me? And he asked Eliezer to go out and see where there might be travelers. And he came back alone. And the heat of the day was becoming almost unbearable. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu realized that Avram was not at ease because every day he had visitors and not today. And he wanted to do the mitzvah. So we know what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did is he took three malachim, three angels. They appeared as if they were three men. Avram saw them, but they gave the impression that when they saw that Avram was bandaging and unbandaging his wound, they said, they tried to stick away, and he said, no, no, no. And it says HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent the Malachim. It says HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent his divine present to be Mevaker Cholim for Avram, to visit the infirm Avram. And it also gave Avram another opportunity to show his great hospitality. It says that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu went to visit Avram Avinu, he sent the precedent that we should visit those who are ill. And it says one merits saving from the judgment of Gehenna when we do Bikur Cholim. Avraham was talking to the Rabbona Shel Olam. And the question is, what did he say? He was addressing someone, please wait. Was he asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu to please wait till he attended to the wayfarers? Or was he asking the wayfarers to wait until he would finish his conversation with God? Hashem would not allow Avram to rise as Hashem spoke to him. And he said, just as you are sitting now, even though the Shekhinah is above you, so too will this set a precedent for learning in the But the Knesiyos and the shuls and in the base medrash, right? That we can reach Shema Yisroel while seated. Avram, it's in this medrash says he wanted to speak to the people, they should not leave, and basically he asked Hashem for a break in the action. Hashem should stop communicating. He said, the other thing is, if the Shekhinah remains here, I will know that these people, in fact, are of a stature that HaKadosh Baruch Hu feels it's worthwhile to be attended to while I, you know, take a time away from talking to Hashem. Avram ran, it says, towards him, notwithstanding his pain. And he said to the one in the middle, who he assumed was the leader. And this, it says, was the Malach Michoel, who he spoke to, with Gavriel on one side and Raphoel on the other side. And he asked them to please come in. And he said, let me get some water and you can wash your feet. It says Avram thought they were Arabs, and somehow Arabs were worshiping the dust in their feet, and he didn't want this in his home. And he said, I'll bring you a little bit of bread, and then you can go on. And we point out that tzaddikim promise little, but their delivery is much more expansive. It says, the wicked do the opposite. Avram offered some bread, but he served them a banquet fit for kings. He slaughtered an ox for each of them to get the tongue. He made 9 saw flour. He served them butter and milk. And it says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu acted the same way when he gave the Klal Yisroel the great riches at the Yam Suf, fulfilling what he said to Avram, you know, we're going to give them significant amounts. The Malachim acquiesced. And Avram brought them a royal banquet. He asked Sarah to take the 3 sav flour and bake matzos, the very best flour for the best dough. Avram kept scurrying at quick speeds from the moment he received them until they were fully cared for. Then he got mustard to give them each a tongue with mustard. It says one of the calves, which Avram wanted to shech, ran. And he had it chase it to Hebron, and it disappeared in a cave, it says. Avram entered the cave, and he instinctively had the odor of Gan Eden, it says, fill the air. He saw the shining light of Kedusha, and he realized that this was the burial place of Adam and Chava. And this is how Avram knew later on to buy this cave, the Maariv HaMachpelah. Avram got Yishmael involved in the service in order to give him proper chinuch, how to serve guests. And as well, it says, Oner Eshkol and Mamre, his attendants, helped. It says, when Bnei Yisroel sinned, with the golden calf, the angel said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, didn't we warn you that the Torah would not be safely followed in their presence?
People.
Huh?
By people.
And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to the Malachim, they're better than you. Even a little child coming home from school was told by his mother to wash his hands if he ate meat and then he wants milk. When you came to Avram Avinu, you had no problem, it says, with the way you ate milk and meat. And this Medrash says you ate them together. Rashi says that he served each course separately, Avram. First milchiks and then fleishiks. So obviously we can see the Midrashim once again had given us different takes on what happened. Avram stood by his guests during the meal, and the angels feigned eating and drinking, so Avram would still continue to think they were human beings. And then the angels at the end of the meal said, Aye Sora Ishtecha, where is Sora, your wife? Now, they knew because they were Malachim. They didn't need this information, but they wanted to show Avraham how pristine and perfect she was, right? That she's in the tent. And Michoel, it says, then said to Avram, because of the way she acts, her utmost modesty, she will have descendants who will become Kohanim Gedolim in the Beis HaMikdash and in the sanctuary in the desert. And one of the Malachim made an indentation in the wall and said, at this time next year, when the sun hits this spot, now I didn't know that each spot on a wall is hit differently by the sun, so it's way above my pay scale in terms of physics and the way the universe works, but he says, at this exact time, right?
They had a sundial.
A sundial? Right? She will give birth to a son. Thora listened and she laughed. And the Parsha says, she said, after I have stopped for a long time, she was what, 90 years old? After I've stopped having any menstrual flows, will I again, and she said, and my husband, he's an old man. HaKadosh Baruch, and she laughed. Now, whether she laughed that it was funny, whether she laughed that, how can such great things happen, I don't know. But HaKadosh Baruch, who was not happy, right? And he says to Avram Avinu, why did Sora laugh? And why did she say, and I am old? Hashem changed the language. Not the Adoni Zokain, not that my husband, my master, is old. V'ani Zokanti, I am old. And we say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu used the stretching of truth or the white lie to avoid any difficulties in Shalom Bayis. They give a metaphor. A watchmaker had a man come to him who pulled a watch out of his hands. And he said, this thing is really just so old, I don't think you could ever repair it. He said, I think the entire spring in those days was rusty. The watchmaker laughed and he said, I remember making this watch. I put the pieces together, right? And I was able to get the pieces so they would work in precision. You're trying to tell me how I should fix it? HaKadosh Baruch Hu basically was saying, I created human beings, I created the natural way of the world, and at a whim, obviously, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can change anything. The question is asked, why was Sora only granted a child now at age 90? It says it's a lesson for the future. If anyone should give up hope that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going to bring us the third bias, right? The bias, the Gula Shlema. It says, look to Avram and Sarah, Yeshayahu says. The same way HaKadosh Baruch Hu changed existence and rejuvenated Sarah, giving her children at such an age, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu will rejuvenate Yerushalayim, and he will bring about the Geula Shlema with supernatural, he says, manner. May we be zeichet to see that b'mehera b'yameinu. Avram said to Sarah, why did you laugh? And she tried to say, I really didn't, etc. And we're told Sarah was the mother of Klal Yisroel. And even she had a hard time seeing what she actually did, and they say that's one of the reasons why we do not allow women, in most cases, to be an aid, to be give testimony in a Beis Din. In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu somehow, we would say, put in them an ability to stretch the truth. I don't know which it is, but you know, in Beis Din, where we need exactitude, right? Probably their compassion might override. Avraham saw that the angels were about to leave, and Avraham did what we're told everyone should do. He accompanied them. He accompanied them out, because we're told if we accompany somebody out, that's showing a chashivus, an importance to the people who came. And somehow, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we learned in the Gemara, looks at this and says, you know, people feel that this individual is important. Somehow it arises greater HaKadosh Baruch Hu's protection over them or whatever. And like many things that we're told in the Torah, right? You know, it's to do with whether we can fully understand.
You have to learn from what you right. say in the Torah, what they did, yeah. We need to do.
Yeah. We know that there were three malachim sent. One was sent to give Sarah the news. One was sent, as we're going to find out, to heal Avram and save Lot, that's Raphael, because they were both analogous, healing and saving. And the third one escaped my mind. Why the third Malach?
To tell him about what's going on. One to heal and save Lot.
Okay, we're gonna stop here for now, and we will pick up the parsha tomorrow.